Hello and welcome to the EV Bids podcast. This is Rod Stuckey coming at you with Tori Hornsby here today with a hot new topic that is not new at all, but it's been highly requested by a lot of our listeners. And that is the subject that can be very simple and yet overwhelming all in one. And that is all about chargers and understanding both as a new electric vehicle owner or a seasoned veteran, what's going on with the charging systems and how does it all work? And so let's kind of start off, Tori, and kick it off with just at a high level for, you know, new EV owners who are looking maybe to get into the EV market, maybe looking to get an EV. What is, you know, at a high level, I know this is a loaded question, at a high level, how much does it cost to hire an electrician and buy a charger or not buy a charger and get your home set up for home charging with your new electric vehicle or your pre-owned new electric vehicle that you've just purchased?
That is a loaded question. I can give a range very high level that we can get into the details of what those different costs are as we continue on the podcast, but the high level answer to that question is it depends, and the range is anywhere from, you know, $400 or $500 up to, you know, $1,500, $2,000 or even more, depending upon what you want to do. And we can break some of that down a little bit as we continue on here.
Yeah, so we will. We're going to dive in and explain that. But before we do that, Tori, can you explain? I know right out of the gate we hear level one charger, level two charger, level three charger. Can you take us through the different levels or types of chargers?
Sure. Yeah. There is a lot of confusion on this. And I think that we can clear this part up pretty easy. At a high level, a level one charger is a home charger that is 110 volts and it plugs into your typical three-prong home electrical outlet. Very handy. Every home has 110 volt. You're loaded with those three-prong outlets everywhere. You've got them in the garage, and you can plug your mobile charger into that three-prong plug, that level 110 volt. And very handy, but not fast. Those typically charge at 3 to 4, maybe 5 miles per hour max. But typically you're looking at about 3 miles per hour of charge. So if you plug it in overnight and let it charge for, you know, 10 hours, you're going to add somewhere around 30 miles to your range. And that's not a lot. And the level two charger is a 240 volt charger. And every house, again, comes with 240 volts. This is what you see your range, like your stove. If you have an electric stove that's plugged into, you've got your dryer outlets and your water heater. So you got a lot of 240 volt running through the house. Every house has 240, and it is a lot better. And typically this is what most people utilize as a level two charger, because it charges so much faster. It charges at up to 44 miles of range per hour. So that same 10-hour period of charging that was at 30 miles is now at up to 440 miles.
And before that's quite interesting for our new EV owners, the fact that we're talking, you know, miles per hour.
I know.
You know, just like, yes, that is it is the same metric as a speedometer, miles per hour.
Just like distance in range. Just,
yes. Yeah. Yep. Pretty wild.
And for that level two, there's two types that you see. And one of them is the mobile charger. And just like that level one mobile charger that comes with most EVs, a lot of EVs have a mobile charger that comes with it that is level one. Some of them are level one or level two, and they come with an adapter for the plug. So instead of the three-prong 110 volt plug, it'll come with an adapter to make it 240 volt eligible. And the little pack that's in line for that mobile charger is set up to do either 110 or 240. Now, those typically don't charge as fast as a wall-mounted charger, which we'll talk about in a second, but they do plug into those mobile chargers that convert to a 240. they plug into a plug that is the same for a dryer or a range oven that you see under your cabinets. If you look under your range plug, there is it's a NEMA 14-30 or a NEMA 14-50. And then you have type two of your level two charger. Your other option is actually a wall mounted or a pole mounted charger that's designated, that's always there, always plugged in. It's ran straight to the panel. And typically these are favored for me because they're neater. You wrap the cord around it. It hangs on the wall. They're typically Wi-Fi enabled, and you can get all the statistics. And those are great. You pull in the garage or up to the garage and you unwrap it and plug it in. It's that simple. So those are the two different types of level two chargers.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You mentioned, I know, you know, at our EV Bids office in Peachtree City, you know, we purchased the wall mounted Teslas. We bought them off Amazon. They're really slick. We had an electrician wire them up, you know, and they work great. I also have a good friend who's a home builder, builds a lot of houses around Peachtree City, and he has a lot of homeowners asking for an EV charger. And when they ask for that, they get a dryer, you know, basically that NEMA 1430 receptacle put in their garage. And so, you know, if you ask your builder for an EV charger, you're probably not going to get, you know, a wall mounted one unless you clarify that that's what you want. So,
yeah. And from a, you know, we had talked about this before, you know, Rod, in terms of like, how much amperage do you need? What do you tell your electrician? And the first thing I would say is you don't need to tell him what amperage. You need to give him what you're plugging in, and then he'll be sure that there's enough amperage for it. But that's another thing that depends. So that NEMA plug, I said a NEMA 14-30 or a NEMA 14-50, the two numbers there are for the amperage of that plug will handle. So a NEMA 1430 is a 30 amp, a NEMA 1450 is a 50 amp. But some of those chargers that you'll get, they run off of a 30 amp. Some of them need a 50 amp circuit. And typically the more amperage that it's going to draw, the faster it can charge. So that's something that you might want to look into as you're looking at chargers. But hey, I know you and me, Rod, we're more of the get the name brand stuff, especially for something as important as this.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, just, you know, speaking of the 30 amp and the 50 amp, as a RV or, you know, campgrounds, you have that a lot. You know, certain campsites have a 30 amp plug in, some have 50 amp. And same with some actual campers and some RVs. So you always, as a camper, you have your 30 amp and your 50 amp adapter with you. Every camper out there that has an RV or a pull behind has a 30 amp and a 50 amp adapter, because you never know what you're going to run into when you're out there on the road. And so same kind of thing as you're describing here with these receptacles. But transitioning to your point, Tori, going to the type two, the wall mount. We are OEM guys, as dealership guys, you know, our whole careers. We've always had success and believed in. We have a lot of Teslas in our office, and so we bought Tesla brand wall mounts. And, you know, I'll kind of let you speak to that, Tori, but whatever brand of electrical EV you're buying, electric vehicle you're buying, definitely not a bad idea to buy the charger that manufacturer recommends. Is that what you're kind of saying, Tori?
Absolutely. And they know their battery better than anybody else. So they're going to have built-in provisions to work with the car. So like, I know our Tesla chargers, and by the way, the Tesla wall mount charger, you can get on Amazon or even BestBuy.com. I think Best Buy stocks them for $450. Yeah. So that's the chargers, not the electrician cost, which we'll jump into in just a second. But for $450, man, you can't go wrong. It's Wi-Fi enabled. It connects to the car, not only from just the connection with the plug, but also via its Wi-Fi. They connect and share metrics, and just the way they communicate with each other, they're made for each other. I would definitely, if you have a Tesla, get a Tesla charger. If you've got another brand, OEM, get their charger as well.
So with that in mind, let me ask you, Tori, I want a level two charger, but, you know, I live in a condo or an apartment, or, you know, I just have, you know, outdoor parking at my house. Can level two chargers be mounted outdoors?
They can. Of course, for an apartment, that's a, you got to run that past those people. But like, let's just say you have a condo or you can't.
Minus the HOA.
Right. Exactly. You can't park it in the garage. These can be mounted outside. So just be sure that the one that you're buying says that it's good for outdoors. If at all possible, man, everybody will understand this. The more something's outside, the more weathered it gets. I would highly recommend putting it inside, but you can mount these outside.
Yeah. That's actually kind of a total side note, but one of the neat things that we've enjoyed being in the pre-owned EV business with EV bids and buying and selling lots of EVs is we noticed that so many pre-owned EVs are in great shape because they're all garage kept, and they're all garage kept because they have home charging in their garage. And so it's not super common that you find an EV that's been parked outside and in weathered. So totally off topic there, Tori, but let's dive into the typical cost of installing a home charger. Everybody wants to know. You've just covered, we've got the two types. So, you know, if we go with the kind of the cheaper route, the dryer plug, let's say, like the builder, I was saying, you tell your builder, build a new house, I want an EV charger. He gives you essentially a dryer plug in, 30 amp. What's that going to cost, give or take?
So I actually, I go to church with an electrician, and I was just talking with him. And there is a it depends clause on this as well. But this is definitely the cheaper route to do the plug-in. And a lot of the vehicles, again, your car might already have a mobile charger that has the adapter and works with 240. And so therefore, you don't have to buy a charger. And that makes it even cheaper. But those receptacles can be bought for, you know, 20, 30 bucks, maybe 50. And to install them is very simple. The electrician costs are really the depending part, because if you have a space for it in the panel, so you're not out of spaces in the panel, and you don't mind running the black rubber wire just along the wall, and it looks neat and tight. This is what we did in our office, and we just used those little wall mount things, and the electrician did a good job of running it up the wall and then over to the panel, and it looks great. But the wire is exposed. That's where you're going to get, you know, the cheaper electrical cost there as well, because it's less labor and less cost. And so that could be your $400 or $500 range type of install. And then you go over to your you want to run it, you know, 200 feet from where the panel is. Now that's going to get expensive, just because there is extra labor, but also copper is so expensive right now. And it's going to cost you a lot more for the additional run. Or maybe you want to get the metal conduit, the metal electrical conduit, and they have to bend and custom and shape that.
I got to have the conduit. I got to have the conduit, Tori. I'm just telling you, man. I got to have the conduit.
Yeah, I understand. So that's going to cost you more because of the way that they have to run on the lines and the way they have to bend and custom shape and cut everything. It looks better, it looks cool, but it is going to cost you more money. And then if, you know, this could go all the way down to your panel doesn't have a spot in it, you're tapped out, you have 100 amp service, you're completely using everything, and now you've got to run a new sub panel, or you got to get a different line installed. So it can get very, very, very costly. And that's why at the beginning we said the average is going to be $400-$500, maybe $1,500. But it could go way up from there, depending upon your old house, your preferences, and how you want it to be ran.
Yep, that's a great explanation. And so, you know, we've covered level one, we've covered level two. There's you know, we hear about level three, and we hear about supercharging back in November of 2022. It was announced that Tesla was going to open their supercharging network to the other manufacturers. It's called the North American Charging Standard. This was a big, huge announcement in which essentially, because of Tesla supercharging network being the most reliable and the most robust, at least it's my understanding, Elon said, hey, we're going to be a team player. We got to all get on the same page. If every single manufacturer has a different plug, a different type, there's never going to be a network for everyone. So let's all come together and create a plug that we all use the same plug. Is the supercharging network, Tori, is that the same as level three? When we hear level three, are we talking supercharger? Are we talking that's where we're charging when we're out on road trips or we're at the grocery store or at the restaurant?
Yep. So we'll cover that. And then let's jump into the plugs, because that's kind of its own little segment, I feel, question. Okay. But so the answer to your question is yes, level three. There really isn't a level three that has been named level three by like Tesla. My understanding and my research shows that just essentially somewhere along the line, an assumption was made by people that if there was level one and level two is faster, what's above level two? Level three, it's faster. Yeah. So
level three.
And there's nothing wrong with calling it level three. Heck, I'll still call it level three sometimes because it's so well known. Heck,
kind of trade slangish.
I was going to say trade slangish, but also one of the things, Rod, you and I laugh at a lot is if you use a word enough, it just gets added to the dictionary. Like irregardless wasn't a word forever. It just got used so much. Finally, Webster was just like, okay, fine, we'll add it.
But it means the same as regardless, but add an extra syllable if you want.
Right. Well, typically, it means ear typically means the opposite of. So not regard. Yeah. Anyway, so moving on to the level three. Level three is the it technically is the DC FC or DC fast charging. And that is the supercharger charging station network that uses DC charging. And they're specifically the ones that you drive up to. And you know, I'll tell you what's funny. I'll just go ahead and delve into that a little bit, is those aren't all the same. And not even all of the Tesla ones, the Tesla superchargers are the same. And this causes confusion a lot because there's four different tiers of superchargers. And so now you've got people saying level three, tier three, level three, level three, level three, tier four. So that's why it gets a little bit confusing on the, there is no level three, it's DC or superchargers and our DC fast chargers. But the four different tiers of those superchargers, basically the higher the tier, the faster it charges. And so, you know, tier one charges at or below 60 kilowatt hours, so it's slower. And then you go through 60 to 100 for tier two, 100 kilowatt to 180 for tier three, and tier four is above 180. But we're at the place now to where these charge at upwards of 450 or 500 plus kilowatt hours, like the amount of power that they can take and apply to the battery is incredible. And they can charge right now 200 miles on the newer models within 15 minutes. So you can go up to a charging station and you can have a 200 mile charge added in 15 minutes.
Wow. I didn't even know it had gotten that fast. Obviously, that's the big, you know, negative at this point with, you know, electric vehicles is, you know, range anxiety and charge times and all that. If these charging times keep coming down and get to where they're close to your average pit stop at a gas station for fuel and potty and refreshments, things could get real interesting at that point. So, the supercharging network essentially, and to your point, there's a lot of different charging networks out there. There's, you know, Electrify America. There is several other players that, you know, all came into the space trying to create essentially the standard. But as we mentioned back in November, all of the manufacturers kind of came together and said, hey, it makes sense that we you know, create a one plug so we're not all running around with 50 different adapters, and that we can have a charging standard, kind of a rising tide raises all ships situation here. That was great news to me. Tori, my understanding is Elon recently laid off this team. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, the supercharging team. It was nearly 500 people that they laid off. And I think that this was always Elon's plan. I believe it. I think, you know how Elon is, it had grown stale and he wanted to save some payroll. So he cut the whole department, almost 500 people. Even, I can't remember the guy's name, Max. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The VP of the charging place, this guy's a stud. He's been with Tesla like from the beginning, and even laid him off. But then a couple of weeks later said, you know what? We do actually need a supercharging team. And so there's been no word on how many he's hired back of the almost 500 that were laid off. But he has hired back. Tesla has hired back many of the supercharging team. So we don't need to be concerned that that's going to just, dilapidate from this point forward.
Yeah, so I just pulled up a list here of the great NACS migration, who is switching to Tesla's charging port. And so again, in November they announced this. And since then, we have Audi has come on board and announced they're going to use the Tesla port with the and be a part of the NACS soon after BMW joins Fisker Automotive, Ford, General Motors, Genesis, Hyundai, going down the list here, Kia, Lucid, Mazda, Porsche, Rivian, Scout Motors, Subaru, Volkswagen, biggest auto manufacturer in the world, Volvo, Polestar, Nissan, Infiniti, Texas Lexus, Toyota Lexus, Honda Acura, Aston Martin, Mercedes-Benz, the Stellantis Group, which is Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and Maserati.
So pretty much everybody.
So, yeah, I mean, essentially, it's interesting because I was following this when it was all going down, and there was some stubbornness going on, and it seems that they have all come to a logical conclusion for all of the consumers. Now, one kind of Elon, he's a smart guy, obviously. And so one interesting side note that I did remember reading was that, he's not charging a licensing fee or anything to all of these other manufacturers. There's going to be no licensing or anything to these guys. Wow, Elon's such a nice guy. Rising tide raises all boats. Well, I do believe there is going to be an additional charging fee if you're not a Tesla owner. So essentially, you will be paying a little bit more. You will be paying a little bit more of a premium for the power if you're not a non-Tesla when you're using the Tesla chargers. So now, as far as like ChargePoint and these other networks, I'm not sure about that, but
yep. And I think for the time being, just to go back to your plug, I still would carry those primary adapters, like the CCS plug adapter to power. When you pull up to like a charge point station and they're CCS and they don't have the Tesla plug, you want to have the adapter to be able to charge. But
And the NACS isn't actually going to be implemented until 2025. So, you know, as you can imagine, the manufacturers are scrambling to change this. So there will be a migration period. Adapters will be used during that migration period. Yeah. So this is not going to be a flip the switch overnight, but it will be something that's forthcoming, and it'll be fun to watch. So with that said, you know, we mentioned maybe there would be a premium on the price of supercharging for non-Tesla owners. Tori, what is the cost of supercharging?
Yeah, that's another, it depends. And but I do think it makes sense. You know, every use of a supercharger, you know, you think how many times. I remember my dad. This is a funny my dad Gary. It's funny Garyism. I wanted to take our lawnmower and cut my buddy's grass so that we could go ride motorcycles, because he couldn't go ride motorcycles until we cut his grass. And so I asked my dad, and he said, "Son, our lawnmower is only going to cut so many yards, and I would like for them to be all ours." I thought that was funny.
That is a great way of saying it's just not in our best interest to go loaning out our most expensive tools.
it reminds me here, every use of that lawnmower, how many more were there left? And well, that's how it is. These things require maintenance. So it makes sense that there's a premium that he's charging for non-Tesla. But just looking at the cost today, I've got a sample of one recently. And this was a Tier 4 supercharger. It was charging at 276 miles per hour. And the kilowatt hours, it was from 9 p.m. until 11 a.m. So overnight, it cost 24 cents per kilowatt hour. And then from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. or during the day, it doubled. And it cost 48 cents. So if you went and got a 60% charge on a Model 3, which is about 13, kilowatt hours, just to kind of a quick charge, get you where you're going, it would cost $3.12 overnight. And during the day, it's going to cost you $6.24. So that's another one of those. It depends. It's cheaper overnight. It costs more during the day. And it all depends on how much power you accumulate. And so your battery tells you how much you have. So if you have a 100 kilowatt hour battery, if it were literally zero and you had to fill it up to full, that would be 100 times 24 cents overnight. So you can do the math on that. So the battery never goes to zero though, and you typically don't charge it to 100%. So it doesn't cost that much to fill it up.
So are there any other factors that impact charging speed?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of other factors. So at a home, something that can impact your charging speed is, let's say that you've got 100 amp service run to your house. And so you have a spot for your charger, but you're cooking something with your electric range, you've got your dryer going, your hot water heater's running, and you're charging your car. There's only so much power the house can get from the pole. And so sometimes you can look at your car and go, man, why isn't this charging at 15 miles per hour of range instead of 40? And it'll be because you're consuming all of the possible power because you've got everything running, hot tub, pool pump, everything. Another thing that greatly impacts charging speed is if you have the wrong breaker. So if you've got a 50 amp charger, and you've hooked it up to a 30 amp breaker, you're only getting 30 amps. That's it. So, you can't squeeze more through the pipe than the size of the pipe. So that can happen too. But here's a big one that people greatly misunderstand. And this is the final one, is the lower your battery is, the faster it charges. The higher your battery is charged, the slower it charges. And so if you pull up to a supercharger, same car, same supercharger, same amount of Tier 4 power available, and you have 60% left and you want to top off to 100, that could take over an hour to get that 40%. It could take an hour and a half to get, because as it gets up to over 90%, it's barely charging. Like, you got to stay there a long time. And if you pull up to that same charger, and let's just flip it around and say you pull up with 10% and charge to 50%, it could charge on a newer car in 10 minutes. So that same 40% went from 10 minutes to an hour plus, because the lower the battery, the faster it charges. And one last thing, the battery conditions itself as you drive to a supercharger if you put it in your navigation. So even if you know where you're going and you're driving your Tesla and you want to stop and get a supercharger while you grab your Starbucks and you want to get a 30-minute charge or whatever while you drink your drink, behooves you to put it into your navigation or speak it, hey, navigate me to the supercharger. And it'll pull up your list of superchargers. And it conditions the battery while you're driving so that it charges faster and more quickly. That's two different things, like how quick it, the battery is ready to receive a large charge or big amperage or big kilowatt hours versus how long it takes to charge. So you want to put it in your navigation. And then I'll end with this. A lot of people don't understand this relates to the charging network and charging your Tesla. People on that range anxiety tip or quote you mentioned earlier, they think like, if I'm going on a long trip, how will I know where to pull off? Like that seems overwhelming. Well, Tesla has done a great job with this. So if I'm leaving my house and I just want to drive to Florida, say Panama City, and I put into the navigation that trip, it will automatically navigate to where I need to go. It'll tell me what the battery percentage will be when I get there. It'll tell me how long I need to sit there and what the percentage needs to leave when I'm needs to be at when I leave. And as I'm sitting there, it'll actually alert me and say, okay, you can drive. You're good to go. And so the longer the trip, the more superstations or the superchargers it will have you stop by automatically. You don't have to sit down and figure out and look at the map and figure out which charging stations you're going to go to. The navigation does that for you just by using it and telling it where you want to go. It will alert you and tell you, it'll navigate you to the super charger and then navigate you onto your destination. So pretty cool little tip there.
Yeah. And that's one of the exciting things about this NACS is just, you know, the more chargers there are out there and the more that technology continues to, I mean, you mentioned being able to charge as quick as, you know, 200 miles in 20 minutes. Like once we, was that
one tip? It's actually 15 minutes, but this is another factor. And this is very important. So I had a customer with a Model S. It was a 2016 Model S. And he said, man, I thought that these Tier 4 superchargers could charge at like 200 miles in 15 or 20 minutes. And he had a 2015 Model S. Well, the battery and the technology in the car can't accept that speed. So that's very important. The newer the car, the faster it charges. So if you have a 2014 Model S 60, it might take you 40 minutes to charge it to where the same amount of charge in a newer Model S would have taken 10 minutes. So the older the car, typically the slower the charge.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Sorry for interrupting there. You triggered that thought, and that's very important.
Yep, very. That makes total sense. So, well, very good. Excellent session and a lot to layers with this whole charging thing. So with that, any parting comments here on this whole charger thing, Tori?
Nope, no comments for me. Just have fun and stay charged. That's what one of our team members says, Todd. So you talk with him. Yep. He'd end his emails with stay charged. And I've kind of picked it up. I like it. Stay charged.
Like it. Yep. All right. Great. Well, for Tori Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey. Please check out our website at evbids.com. We are the tax credit specialist. If you're looking to save $4,000 at the point of sale, whether you're buying or whether you're selling, we can help you set up an auction to sell your car. We can also handle private party closings and process tax credits for private parties. So check us out at evbids.com. And thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.